Hi, dear friends. Welcome to Diary of a Sex Therapist. My name is Elizabeth Akumli, and as you already know, this is my diary you're listening to. Here, I'm trying to be my most spiritual, smart, and sexy self, and I'm inviting you on that journey. Today, I'm going to be talking about harmony is spiritual. Harmony is spiritual. If you followed my counseling business, Lisa Express Consult, you would have noticed the phrase healing and harmony. When I set out as a therapist, that was one of the things I wanted to help people achieve, the concept of being harmonized. While it's not a 100% thing every single time that you have your hands on, like every area of your life, yeah? But there's a consciousness of wanting to be harmonized that makes you pay attention to everything. As opposed to when you feel, well, it's not going to work. So, do you understand? If you say, I want to make sure I'm available for my kids. At the same time, I'm a good boss. I want to make sure my investment is working. That is being deliberate. Because you've thought about it, because you're thinking about it, you are consciously investing in those things. That also means you're consciously investing in resting. You're deciding, I need to rest. Like we spoke about last week, the work of rest. You are deliberate about resting. Now, because you think of all these things, you are not overly invested in one area. You're not just chasing ministry and your kids are suffering. Or you're not just chasing marriage and your business is suffering. Even though each of these things will need more attention at different points. For example, your kids will need more attention when they are smaller. They would also need more attention when they are breaking into teenagers, puberty. They will need more attention when they are in their core teenagers. I'm speaking 15, 16, 17, 18. They would need a lot of attention in those phases. Then when they break into 20, obviously it is believed that you have raised an individual who is able to take concrete decisions by themselves. And so at that point, you begin to rest. You're not chasing them at 20, 22, 24. You're not chasing them the way you would have chased them about when they were 3 or the way you would have been worried about them when they were 15. Right. So at different phases of this, there's a lot of investment going into that area of your life. Same thing with your business. When your business is a startup or is pivoting or you are repositioning your brand in the market, those are times when you are investing extra, or you're starting ministry, you're pivoting, you're reaching a new audience, or you're in a new location. Those are periods when you need to invest extra. However, on general basis, you want to focus on a bit of everything. That's the concept of harmony. The concept of harmony is that you do not have a fun. Okay, so with my clients, when I'm working with them for harmony, I'm looking at what areas of their life are highly lopsided. They are so lopsided, you can't even notice they are present. For example, they have, especially when I use the wheel of life, these are just general examples. And then you see the person has a professional life that is a 9.5. 9.5 in terms of their earnings, 9.5 in terms of the people they meet, 9.5 in terms of the excellence they deliver at work, 9.5 in terms of how professionally reliable they are, 9.5 in their office environment, 9.5 in the kind of relationships they have with their colleagues, 9.5 in how they interact with their juniors. Then you check the romance life of this person and it is a 1. It is non-existent. They don't go out on dates. They don't have time for social life. They don't keep up with their friends. They don't meet new people. They run away from the emotional commitment of relationship and they pour all of that commitment into their job. So their job just keeps going higher and higher. They get higher pays, higher work environment, higher everything professionally. But their romance life is 0, their social life is 0, and some others is even so bad that even their family life is 0. Even if they haven't gotten married yet, they're not interacting properly with their present nuclear family. They are not engaging with anyone outside their workspace. So literally all they are is work and more work and a big bundle of fear regarding all the other aspects of your life. And so today when I'm talking about harmony, I'm speaking harmony to you as a child of God. Harmony in terms of holding yourself in ministry, holding yourself professionally, your kids, your marriage, your relationship at whatever phase you're in. And then being able to harmonize this with how you take care of yourself. It is not unusual to meet faith people, believers, who think their health is not a big deal. I understand the concept of divine health. I subscribe to it with all my heart. In fact, medications are not a thing for me. First, because I don't like the way they smell. So, because I don't like the way they smell, man, I was forced to jump into scriptures early after I got saved. Like, really early after I got saved. I'm not ready to do drugs. I had done drugs for some years. Like, when I say drugs, I mean medication. I had done medication for some years and I was tired. I used to have this pain in my chest and then I was always having constant sore throat. So if they are not giving me a lot of antibiotics from the hospital, they are mixing ginger, pepper, she's stuffing it down my throat just to stop the pain. And so when I got saved, I just sat down with this divine health thing, like, see, I must understand this thing. I'm not joking with you people. So I perfectly understand divine health. But what I'm talking about is not just belittling health, it's sheer disregard. Yes, that's the word, disregard for their health. A lot of believers I have met do not regard their health in any way or form. Like, they keep their body on the move constantly, they're working. Even if they're not working, they are finding some activity to engage in 20 hours a day. You see them day in, day out with puffed eyes. What's up? And they had this program, they had that meeting. Within those same circles, we're seeing people who are suicidal and they can't tell it to anyone because, I mean, we don't talk about mental health here. That is not even a conversation. And so a time came where I began to ask myself, what is happening here? This cannot be God. God cannot be saying we should disregard our body. God can't be saying we should disregard our mind. In fact, the Bible was explicit with giving certain instructions about your mind. Guard your mind. You know, in the pre-class, therapy as an act of faith. I recommend you listen to that. Therapy as an act of faith. Where I was saying how therapy is you agreeing with God that trauma will not pass on the next generation, which is agreeing with that prophecy in Ezekiel that no longer will the teeth of the children be set on edge. So if we are saying as believers that we are people of harmony, that we are people who pay attention, that we are people of detail, we are people of excellence, because that's how God is. God is detailed. God is excellent. He looks at every aspect of things. God didn't just make Adam and dump him in the garden. God still looked at it and it's not good for this guy to be alone. I will make him a helpmate. I'll make him a companion. I'll make him someone who is a help. I'll make him someone who is a support system. How come you as a person don't have support systems? How come you as a person don't have friends? How come you don't have companionship? How come it's just you on this journey of life saying there's a point in life where you're lonely? Excuse me, there's always 1, 2, 3 people who are supposed to supply strength at some point. Yes, it's your journey, but there are always people to supply strength. Moses had Aaron and Or supporting Joshua in the valley, right? Then David had Jonathan. Jesus had the disciples and then he had his 3 and then there was John the Beloved. Like, there's always that community thing. So how come as a believer you don't have a community? That's an indication of a problem. How come you are phenomenal on the altar but something is wrong with your marriage? There is no communication in your marriage, and even when there's communication, it's just this boss staff conversation where everything is rigid. There's no play, there's no laughter. Even the sex is rigid. The kids can't play around you. They are afraid of you. One side of your life is overly developed and the other side is not. And you haven't paid attention to it. See, harmony is a real thing. One scripture I know we've always penned for when Jesus arrives is that, be ye perfect. Is that scripture? Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be ye harmonized as your heavenly Father is harmonized. Yeah, be truth. The way your heavenly Father is truth. The way he is all-encompassing. And sometimes I look at that scripture like, Lord, can we really be perfect? But the consciousness of being perfect the way the Father is means we put in work in all the areas. Now, that brings me to the closure of today's podcast. Harmony is spiritual. Harmony is not something you achieve because you are a disciplined person. I have tried discipline, and here's one thing I can tell you. Discipline is not all there is. I have found out that there is a place of the Holy Ghost. There is self-control that the Holy Ghost gives that is more than any personal discipline regimen you have. There is something called being led by the Spirit. I have heard of it from a lot of people, but I didn't experience it until 2016. Yes, that was my final year on campus. I was serving in ministry on campus. Mind you, prior to that time, I was failing in school woefully. When I say woefully, I was failing absolutely. In 200 level, literally, I carried over my entire 200 level. So I'm not telling you something I do not know here. And then in 400 level, my academics went from ground zero to 100. At the point, I was speechless. Like, why did I find this divine reality in 100 level? Just why did I? And so I told myself, when I'm doing my master's, I went from ground zero to 100 in final year. I was doing ministry. I was traveling. I was going to a lot of conferences. I was meeting a lot of people professionally. I was engaging. I was being an absolute first daughter that I am. I was planning to launch my business. In fact, that's when I was supposed to start my style business. But instead, I went for therapy because I figured, see, therapy needed extensive learning. I could always pick up style because it's always been there for me. But this is harder. So I went that way. And then there were a few other things. I noticed that period that I would come back from school and I would just sleep. At exactly 1 hour, it would feel like someone woke me up in my room. I was living alone. At exactly 1 hour into my siesta, it would feel like someone was in my room waking me up. And I'll stand up. I probably would want to read and I feel like, no, go and cook. And then I want to read sometimes. I'm like, no, go and pray. Or I want to pray sometimes. I'm like, no, go and read. Like, it was very particular. My life was a well-oiled machine. And after that time, I began to ask, Holy Ghost, are you that detailed? Are you that detailed? And then I was telling a friend what was happening to me. And mind you, this thing happened for a week. If it had happened for a week or a month, I would have said it was a coincidence. It happened for about 3 months straight. At every given point in my room, there was worship going on. There was a prayer sound going on. I was constantly in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I'm using this example because it was the first time it happened. It changed the trajectory of my faith life. And here I was wondering, God, what's happening? This is too good to be true. I don't think I could have missed an appointment in that phase of my life. And so here I was telling my friend what was happening. And she said to me, oh, the other day I was praying and the Lord told me to stop praying. And he started mentioning the names of all of my friends. And he told me, go and call them because I haven't spoken to all of them in a long while. She called me that day. When she called me, I was like, babe, what's up? Why you call me? She normally doesn't call. She said I was praying and God said I should go and call. You're joking, right? I said no. I said I kept trying to pray in tongues. It wasn't working. I had to stop, write out everybody's name, call them, and go back to praying. What? Harmony is not something we achieve by just being organized, by just being planned. It's letting ourselves lean in on the power of the Holy Ghost. Is understanding that the Holy Ghost on our inside is not some rigid spirit that cannot bend. Is understanding that every aspect of our lives are important to God. Every aspect. God is not just concerned about the way you pray in the Holy Ghost. He's concerned about the way you interact with your neighbor. He's concerned about the way you talk to your child. I heard of a senior, very international minister who was going to minister in a country. And after they had made the flyer, everything. In fact, I think he had even booked his flight or something. His son had a game at school. And he felt God was telling him to go to the game. And he's like, God, that's a new country I'm going to. Are you seeing? He said, yes. That single action was the game changer for his relationship with his son years later. God is concerned about the detail, but you've also got to be concerned about the detail. You've got to be willing to say, hey God, I want to do A, B, and C. This is everything. What goes first? What comes next? What am I working with? What area of my life do you want me to pay attention to? There was a period where it took the Holy Ghost for me to stop eating biscuit anyhow. Guys, I can eat a carton of biscuits. I'm not kidding. I wasn't eating well. I only cook most times because I have people to feed. And so at that phase in my life, I was thriving on junk. Yeah, it was same final year. There was a period I had to change my hairstyle and begin to make my hair. I later got permit in my spirit to cut my hair again. But as at the time I had an instruction to make my hair, it was because I was becoming nonchalant. I was becoming negligent of myself. I was beginning to look tattered and unkempt. And God won't have me that way. Literally, sometimes I'm praying in the Holy Ghost and I just open my wardrobe. Why is my wardrobe like this? God is deliberate. He's interested. But you've got to be interested too. I hope this helps your journey. If you have any questions, any suggestion, anything you want me to talk about next time, please feel free to email me. My email is always in the description box. Or better still, send me a message on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Minister Liza. And of course, there's always, always, always content on my website that you most likely haven't explored. So all you need to do is go to www.ministerliza.xyz. See you next week, Friday. Bye.